So today is hypocrisy. Talk about hypocrisy, and we're going to see some of the same things that we have already talked about. And as we have mentioned, how many of these sins that we are discussing are tied together, and hypocrisy is tied to other sins that we have already talked about. And when you think of the word hypocrisy, what do you think?
Camouflage.
A camouflage? Okay. Camouflage. How does that make you feel when you find out someone is living the life of a hypocrite? You don't trust them. It's disgusting, isn't it? They've put on a front, and it's not. There's nothing true about that. And so you know, there are feelings that the sin of hypocrisy causes, and when we look at the word, Sister Law said camouflage, so it's a cover up. You're pretending to be something that you're not. And you know, as it was described to a friend of mine, he shared with me how he learned what a hypocrite was. His mother explained it to him one day when they were at the circus, and there was a clown. And the clown was dressed up with the red nose and the makeup, and he was pretending to be somebody that he wasn't. And that's the image that he went to when he heard the word hypocrite. And the Bible is full of people that were hypocritical. And if you look in Luke chapter 20, Jesus' authority has been brought into question. And he gives a parable of the vine growers. And at the conclusion of the vine growers, in verse 19, the scribes and the chief priest tried to lay hands on him that very hour. And they feared the people because they understood that he spoke this parable against them. So they watched him. They watched him. You want to know what a hypocrite does? Hypocrite stands in the back and he watches. That's what they're doing. They're watching. Not saying anything, watching. So they watched him, and they sent spies who pretend to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so that they could deliver him to the rule and the authority of the governor. So they sent people in. These men that Solomon talks about in Proverbs chapter 6, those are the Pharisees and the scribes. They point with their finger, they wink with their eye. And so they find a person who is willing to pretend to be righteous in order that they might catch him. It's all a plan. It's just a big plan on the part of the scribes and the Pharisees, and that's what they're wanting to do. That's a perfect example of a hypocrite. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 20, or Matthew chapter 22 rather, verse 16. It says in verse 15, then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their malice and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrite? So once again, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus often clashed with the Pharisees with regard to the law and things pertaining to the old law. And what Jesus has done here is Jesus has brought attention to their hypocrisy. How many of us today bring attention to their whatever sin you want to put in there? Today it's hypocrisy. Pride. You know, we were talking about pride. You know, it would be hurtful if someone walked up to me and said, "Stephen, you're prideful." But people don't do that. Many don't. To stay with Reuben's lesson this morning, many don't. Only a few do. And I was talking with Brother Ellison, and we were talking about ego. Oh, ego. What's ego? Ego's pride. We call it ego. He's got a big ego, because that's a softer term. That Jesus didn't use that softer term with the Pharisees. He said, "You're a clown." I had that in my head. I didn't intend to say it, but it was there. He said, he didn't call them a clown, is what I had in my head. He called them hypocrites. That's what they were. He didn't call them actors. That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite's an actor. And that's what they're doing. They're acting one way and thinking another. He didn't call them actors. He called them hypocrites. And so the purpose for playing the part of a hypocrite is what? Why does someone play the part of a hypocrite? I'm sorry? Because they want to deceive somebody? Okay, gain advantage. Maybe to be accepted. Play the part of the hypocrite to be accepted? Yeah, we've all been in that spot, more than likely, on occasion. And so we see that hypocrisy is wrong, and that we can't be hypocrites. Hypocrisy is a way of living. Hypocrisy, we talked early on in the quarter about sin becoming embedded in our lives. It becomes the path. It's not a stumbling block in the path, it is the path. And that's what hypocrisy does. And we're warned about this. We're warned about this in First Timothy. Paul writing to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, where he's talking about false teachers. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." That's the idea, you know, something that is seared with a hot iron, it loses its feeling, you know. And that's what happens with the conscience. The conscience becomes that way. And so you don't have one any longer. See? Yes, sir, Reuben.
When I think about hypocrisy, I don't know why, but Judas comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was one of the apostles. He mingled among them. He was there when the Lord's Supper was instituted. And you see a man that was, I mean, he wanted to be counted among them. He wanted to be recognized among them. But all this time he was thinking about how to betray the Lord. He's an excellent example of someone who practices what he is now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, since you bring up Judas, when you think about Mary, who came and anointed the feet,
yes,
of Jesus with that expensive oil. It was Judas that said, why did you, this could have been, it's like Judas was interested in helping the poor. Judas wasn't interested in helping the poor. No, he was interested in himself. He was a hypocrite. Anybody else have a comment? In Genesis chapter 3, Satan, he played the hypocrite with Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, there in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. Let's just look over here at chapter 2, since we're right there. You don't have to turn a page, I don't imagine. In verse 16, the Lord God commanded, Genesis 2 and verse 16, the Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you'll surely die. And Satan says, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? No, he didn't say that. He said you can eat from any tree of the garden. Not that you couldn't, but that you can, with that one exception. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree with his... From the fruit of the trees in the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. So he just lied to her. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate, and she gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. So whose interest, what interest did Satan have in Adam and Eve?
His own interest,
to draw them away. He wanted followers. Draw them to follow him, not to follow God. And so Satan paints this picture that it's all right. It's not how you heard. It's not what you heard. What he did was he tainted God's love. God's keeping something from you. And the fact is that he tainted God's love. Eve failed, and Adam failed to see how much God loved them. And Satan's hypocrisy is the one that destroyed that.
So Steve. Personal gain and control.
I'm sorry now?
Personal gain and control is the objective of hypocrisy. You're a hypocrite because you want to. It's personal because it's what you want. You want something, and it's not normal to have that something in the eyes of anything, or as commanded, whether it's a command, but in scripture, or whether it's societal in nature. And you want control. So you see it all the time. You know, little lies here get you think one way so that you follow. It's all for the children. Give me control of all this money so that we can distribute this equally. Help all these people. And what you're doing, essentially, it seems noble, right? It's a noble thing. Satan, when he presented the tree, the fruit of the tree, it was a noble thing. Hey, look how great it looks. It's, why not? It's just the fruit of the tree. Take it. Buy it. You know? Sure, here's all the things that we can do and all the things you give us, the authority you give us. But what you don't know is, and as God told Samuel when they first wanted a king, you want a king? He will send your daughter, your sons, you know, he will do what with them what he wants to do. he needs to do, and that included, guess what, personal, hypocritical things, like for example Saul did, right? So it's something that is sinful in nature, and it's all about personal gain and control. It's simple. And selling it so that people buy into it, so that they can give you what you want, and so that way you can control it.
Okay. Anybody else? Lyle? Oh, yeah, I understand that.
But that
clear.
Anything anybody criticizes you for on any state, political, religion, or whatever, then they turn right around and are guilty of doing the things that they're telling you not to do. That is a hypocrite, and that is hypocrisy. It stems out from that, with all the repercussions it has with the evil.
So that's interesting that Brother Green brings that up, because for 25 years, that was the creed where I worked. Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. So it's pervasive. It's everywhere. That was the creed. Didn't live by it, but that was it. I heard it over and over again. Yeah. Sure. Brother Stover, you have something?
It's the opposite of truth.
One more time. That's exactly right. And was that it, Brother Stover? Did I cut you off? In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, because this is talking about how Satan tainted God's love for his children. That's what hypocrisy does. Paul says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a sincere faith." That's our objective. Our objective is not to cover, not to hide, but it's to have a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. We're to be sincere in our faith, genuine in our faith. And as we've seen in the examples that we've looked at, in Luke and in Matthew of the Pharisees and of Satan in Genesis, they were not genuine. None of those people were genuine in that. Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, just a simple statement Paul makes: "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good." So I want to focus on this idea of love, let love be without hypocrisy. That tells me something. That tells me that love can be hypocritical. Yeah. You know, this idea of keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Yeah. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to turn over there, and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for the sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." So hypocrisy is the absence. What I'm seeing from Scripture is that hypocrisy is the absence of love. That's what I'm seeing right here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. And I turn over to chapter 4 of that same book and verse 8. In verse 7 beginning, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, if you're loving the people, you're not sinning. There's the opportunity to sin is reduced when your conscience is pure, when you have a fervent love for the brethren. When we talked about hypocritical love when Reuben brought up Judas a minute ago in John chapter 12 and verse 5. And then the same account is in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 8. And that had to do with Mary and him and her anointing Jesus' feet. What else does hypocrisy do other than taint God's love? Does it harm the church? Does hypocrisy harm the church? It does. Brother Amador?
When Paul called out Peter in Galatians chapter 2, he emphasized the two things that were wrong with the hypocrisy on the part of Peter, but what it was doing to the gospel that was being preached. And that's a follow-up of what Lyle stated. It reflected on Peter's character and those that were with him, but it was also harming the understanding of the gospel. And that's the thing that we need to understand, that hypocrisy will not only hurt me as an individual, but it's going to hurt the progress of the gospel. That's what he says when he makes the statement in verse 14. Paul says, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, you know, that struck a nerve in Paul's mind, that this was just not Peter doing something wrong, but it was reflecting upon the gospel, their hypocrisy.
We'll talk about Galatians 2 right now. That's where Reuben is referencing 11 through 13. We see another problem with hypocrisy. Another thing that hypocrisy does is contagious. It wasn't just Peter, but it was Barnabas. Barnabas was caught up. So were others were caught up in this. It wasn't just Peter. He apparently was the ringleader. He was the one that everybody was following. He's the one that initiated this. But you have Barnabas and others that are falling in line. And, you know, the Bible talks about the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. And we need to be careful. Because sometimes, as children of God, we do things that the Bible says are unheard of from the outside, those outside the church, Jews and the Gentiles. Talking about the Jews and the Gentiles specifically, but that they were doing things that aren't even named in the Gentiles. That's how the people in the church were behaving. And so we have to be careful of that, because we would draw people away and people would lose confidence. You know, you have to ask yourself, how many people, has anyone lost confidence in the church because of the way you conduct yourself? Have you damaged your ability to influence people and bring people to Christ by the way you've acted, because you haven't conducted yourself? You've conducted yourself as a hypocrite. Jack?
I'm just going to add, it subverts the authenticity of the congregation. It's totally invalidated. If it's, contagious among the congregation.
It's much easier to tear something down than it is to construct something. And you can tear your reputation down. The church can be hurt tremendously. And it takes years to get that on the right track, on sound footing. Yes, Sister Law. We need to pay attention to whose company we keep. Anybody else? In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 21, this is exactly what I was referencing, and I thought this was it. But he says in verse 21, "You therefore teach another. Do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? Do you say that one should not commit adultery? Do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through the breaking of the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written." And so what you have, it's plain, easy to understand. You have Christians that are not living like they're supposed to live, doing things that they're not supposed to do. And people outside the church see that and wonder, why would I ever be a member there? Jesus has something to say about that in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 6 beginning. Well, we'll just start at the beginning, because verse 1. "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea.'" That's what a hypocrite has to look forward to. And you look at verse 6. Jesus is talking about in verse 6, those little ones. Those little ones are people that are young in the faith. Those people that aren't seasoned. Those people that could be easily drawn away, easily influenced. He says it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. In Luke 12, Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we understand what leaven does. Leaven does what we were talking about a minute ago, about how it's contagious, how it spreads, just a little bit. You know, just a little bit goes a long way. And Jesus tells his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And those that want to conduct themselves in that light, they will eventually, they'll be destroyed. Jesus says in Matthew 24 that hypocrites will have their portion where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that list of things. Hypocrites are there. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Hypocrites pretending to be something that they weren't. And now, in the time that we have left, and we have some time, we want to talk about how can hypocrisy be overcome. How can a biblical example of how hypocrisy was overcome? Anybody? I'm going to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Anybody know where I'm going in Acts chapter 8? Anybody that's there? Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. Acts chapter 8. There in verse 22. What was Simon told to do? What was Simon told to do?
Repent.
That's right. Repent. Remember, you can use your outside voice. It's all right. If it's wrong, we'll come back around. That's all right. I've answered plenty of questions wrong in my life. But he was told to repent. What was he to repent of? Where was Simon's problem? It was in his heart, wasn't it? It was in his heart. Because he says, repent in verse 22 of the wickedness and pray the Lord that it, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven. What was Simon? Well, okay, he was a sorcerer. He was that. Not after this. But he was that. But Simon was a hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. Read his story. And in fact, you can go back, because we talk about Acts 8, and I was going to look it up to see when we talked about that specifically. But you can go back on a Wednesday night on the website and listen to that class where we address Simon and the kind of character that Simon was. Stop seeking the praise of men. Isn't that a way to subvert hypocrisy? Stop seeking the praise of men. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two. In Psalms 119 and verse 10, David says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. With my whole heart. That's what we need to do. We need to seek God with our entire heart. James, in James chapter 4, says about the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the Lord is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so that's what hypocrites are. Hypocrites are friends of the world, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that pat on the back. And they're at variance with God because of it. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, "For do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men or do I seek to please God? If I seek to please men, I should not be a servant of Christ." See, you can't be a servant of Christ and seek to please men. That's what Paul is saying. Practice what you preach. There's a saying. Practice what you preach. Members of the church used to be known as people of the Bible. That's what they would say. Everybody carried a Bible with them, and they knew what was in it. People of the Bible, practice what you preach. In Matthew chapter 23, there beginning in verse 1, Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, "Scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." Hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. Judge with righteous judgment. Another thing that would deter hypocrisy. If you turn to Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7 and they're beginning in verse 1. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." What does that say? You need to get your house in order before you go to working on somebody else's house. You can't be a hypocrite. You know, this passage about don't judge, because there's this fear. There's a fear of judging. Oh, you're judging me. And the Bible says don't judge. It's kind of like the Bible says money is the root of all evil. Jesus says in verse 1, don't judge. And then in verse 2, he says, "For in the way that you judge." So we must make judgments. But we need to make sure that the judgments that we're making are not hypocritical judgments, or not that they're just, that they're righteous. And finally, tell and live the truth. Brother Stover said that hypocrisy was the opposite of truth. And that's how we ought to live. We've got to live the truth. And if you're not living the truth, you need to do something about that. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21, "For we have regard for what is honorable." Paul said that. We have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but in the sight of men. And so it matters. It matters. We have to be honorable and provide things honorable. Does anybody have any comment with regard to hypocrisy? James.
I think one passage to kind of wrap up a lot of this is Galatians 2, when mm-hmm. Peter was being a hypocrite, playing both sides. You know, the Jews and the Gentiles were here present, and Peter's hanging out with the Gentiles. When the certain Jews show up, then he removes himself, and Paul calls him out. And so you have somebody who is an apostle of upper status, somebody that's supposed to know all these things, and he's playing a hypocrite. And then you have Paul come in and correct him. And the Bible tells us that he was corrected in front of everyone. He was called out. And that's hard to do. Sometimes it
That's right. Good. Thank you, James. Okay, that will conclude our class for today. Wednesday night, we're going to move on to gossip. So thank you for your attention and your comments.